leading us and keeping us on that rock, right? And in life, there's storms and challenges and trials, and it's tough at times to stay bound to the rock. And that rock won't move, amen? And even when our hearts and our minds and our attitudes and our emotions are all over the place, the rock doesn't move. And I want to welcome all of you who are here visiting with us. We are in November involved and embracing really a series entitled Thanksgiving Transformations. Thanksgiving Transformations. And in this month of November, we celebrate Thanksgiving, and we're attempting to celebrate transformation. I said we're attempting to celebrate transformation. Amen! Do you realize, you realize that as Christians, we should enjoy transformation more than any others. As a Christian, you should enjoy change. And I don't mean changing your mind or change. I'm talking about change where you're becoming more like Christ. That should be the most enjoyable thing in our lives, that we can actually change. So many people try to change and don't have the power to change, or the circumstances overwhelm them and they can't change. But when you're bound to the rock, you can change. So this month is specifically targeted to help you and me continue our belief that through God's power, we can change. And it's not on our own power, amen. Amen. On God's power, we can change. You know, transformation is the result of a relationship. It's changed after being with our God. It's that kind of change. It's us with God. Do you know that God transformed for us? Do you know that He changed for our relationship with Him? He came down and became a man so that we can enjoy relationships. So God understands. Jesus had to transform for our understanding. It's a beautiful thing. It's man, the creation, striving to be like the Creator. That's our transformation. And then it's God, the Creator, striving to be like and understand the creation. That's relationship. That's not religion. That's relationship. And so this month, I pray that your relationship would be refined, rekindled, renewed, and your transformation would be obvious. Change after being with. In life, we have seasons. Some seasons are filled with victory over major sin, and you go, praise God. Some seasons are filled with very little suffering. You kind of go through the period where everything's pretty good. Boy, life is good. Life is amazing. There's no suffering. God be glorified. And sometimes we have seasons that are filled with unhindered conviction with God. And you're just growing in your convictions, and you're going from strength to strength. There are also some seasons that are filled with defeat and loss and frustration and doubt and affliction and silence. Those are some seasons that we all experience. You know, this is all a part of the process. It's all a part of the process. So we're going to entitle this sermon, Transformation, Trust in the Process. Trust in the process. Do you trust in this process of transformation. Our beloved Seminoles and Rattlers are in different seasons, aren't they? Oh boy, I remember back, I don't remember because I wasn't born, but I heard of the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. Being a Rattler fan, winning the national championship, beating people like they stole something. Everybody feared the Rattlers, amen? Can you get an amen on that? Amen, come on now. Everybody feared the Rattlers. I remember those seasons. Well, you know, we lost to Bethune-Cookman last night. Yeah, so we're not going to be able to, I guess, contend for the championship. And then I remember the Seminoles back in the 70s. I lived next door to the defensive coordinator. And they gave us tickets. They begged us to take them. And I remember when we couldn't beat University of Florida to save our lives. And when we did, boy, it was like, you know, Jesus came back, you know? And then the Bowden era. Woo! Let me tell you something. How many straight bowl appearances have we? 39? Huh? We 41 straight bowl appearances? And that's going to be challenged this year, right? And we're going to play your beloved Gators, right, Bill? Ushers, greet him out, please. Send him out. No, this is the kingdom of God. This is the family of God. We love all people. Well, boy, we in Tallahassee, guys, let's be patient. Let's trust the process. We've been spoiled. We had many seasons of victory and just celebration and swag. Those days are over. But we have to trust the process. Alabama had them. Now they're in a season of victory. You see, as Christians, we need all seasons for transformation to occur. We need all seasons for transformation to occur. We need all seasons for our maturity. We need all seasons. I know we would love to have winning seasons until Jesus comes back. But we need all seasons for our maturity. We need all seasons for the creation to become like the Creator. If you don't enjoy the winter seasons, you won't become like God. If you only enjoy the spring of life, you won't be able to endure the winters. And your character won't be formed into the image of Jesus. Most of us will prefer winning seasons only. Winning for a football team is to put up more points than the opponent. I know I'm not telling you anything new. Winning for a golfer is shooting par. That's 72. You know, over 90% of golfers can't even break 100. And so there a lot of losers, right? But it's tough. It's a tough game. Winning for a student is to graduate, right? Winning for a farmer is a healthy crop. What's winning for a follower of Jesus? Getting to heaven? That'd be a win. Absolutely. What's winning on earth? What's that? Winning souls, what? Helping others get there? Yeah? Overcoming daily struggles, that's a win, okay. What else? Winning for a Christian, yeah. Staying faithful, amen. Yeah, yes. Fruits of the Spirit. You know, let's reduce it. Winning for a Christian is becoming like Jesus and continuing to be transformed in his image. That's a win. That's a win. And we all do it differently, amen? And we all do it, some faster than others, some slower than others. But if you are like David, a man or a woman after God's own heart, you will become more and more transformed into his image. That's what happens. So winning for a follower of Christ, 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. We all, with unveiled faces, are reflecting the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image. From glory to glory, this is from the Lord who is the Spirit. Spreading the image of Jesus in such a way, it overcomes and overrides all other images. That's God's prayer. That's God's desire for man to become like the Creator, like he created us to be. So these are three areas that I want to talk about this morning briefly. Areas of transformation that I would love to impress on you this morning. One is God's work in our transformation. Secondly, the teamwork of transformation. And thirdly, the beautiful boast of transformation. Let's look at God's wonderful work of transformation. God's always working, like a construction site. He's always working. This is a potter's whatever it is. They do a lot of things to form clay and reform clay and heat clay and get out the impurities so that it can be shaped and molded. God's always working on us. He never stops. He's always trying to mold and remold and form and reform. God doesn't quit. He's always working for our transformation. He never stops working for his creation to resemble him. Never stops. He doesn't stop when we fall. He doesn't stop when we rebel. He doesn't stop when we forget. He doesn't stop. 1 Thessalonians 5. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. God's going to do it. God's going to change us. It is God's power to sanctify us, to transform us completely. The goal is Christ. The goal is Christ. Spirit, soul, body, kept blameless. That's a lot of work. Kept blameless. He purifies. Philippians 1, 6. Paul says, I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will drop you in a few months and get tired of your complaining and say, boy, I brought you in this world, I can take you. No. You got to get all that parenting garbage out of your mind. Stuff that's been done to us and we've done. He who started a good work in you. And sometimes we mess up because we think we started it. God started it. God wooed us. It wasn't us going, I think I want to be righteous. No, it was God that called us, that wooed us, that changed us, that's working in us. He's going to carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And that day, we're going to be like him. He started a good work, he'll carry it on. That's God's part. He's in it to win it. That's God's part. We got a part too. We have a part as well. But that's God's part. Do you think that Taggart and his crew have stopped working for the win? Think they've given up? You think they're like, oh, this is a hard season. We just, man, let's cash it on in. Let's just go. You know, they're not stopping. They're working harder. They're working harder. And sometimes when we fall, we think God drops us, but he works harder to come down and pick us up. When our parents may have abandoned us, maybe they abused us, maybe they criticized us, maybe they were condescending, God stoops lower to pick us up. So he works hard when we fall. God works in the good times and the bad times. God's wonderful work of transition. Secondly, the teamwork of transition. It takes a village. It takes a village. This is the 2018 Seminoles. Who do you see on that picture? What's that? Very observant. Anything else? Yeah? A lot of coaches. You have coaches there, right? Who else do you see? Yeah. The rest of the sports that, which includes who? Trainers? Who else? Doctors? Police officers? Clergy? Who else? Yes. I mean, players, all right? A lot of people. They have a lot of people for the win. It takes a teamwork of effort. Head coaches, assistants, graduate assistants, doctors, trainers, clergies, all are necessary for a winning season. Do you know we need others for transition? Or transformation? Some of us may not believe it, but you need others for transition. And it's not, well, it's because God created it that way. It's not that, yeah, we got it, we need others, we need to have a team. No, God organized it that way. That's why we're different. Some of us are so unique, we're independent. And we're so unique, we're self-sufficient. And we're so unique, we're arrogant and think that we don't need a team. We don't need a team. You wouldn't last long on that roster if you didn't use and feel a need for the team. Not just the players, but everybody in that picture right there. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, 20 and 21, Paul writes, "Now there are many parts, yet one body, so the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, nor again the head to the feet, I don't need you." Have you ever been tempted to say, I don't need this person? I don't need that type of person? Have you ever looked around in this congregation and have not seen your need for every single person in this congregation? You see, if you can look across this room and go, I need everybody in here in some way, shape, or form, you may not even know how you need them. But they're here for you. You're here for me. It's the body of Christ. Who's on our team to help us to transform? Who's on the church's team? Okay, let's name it. Who's on the church's team? Let's name it. Let's put a name to it. Yeah. God, Holy Spirit. What's that? Elders, greeters, brothers, sisters, me and you. Singers, worship team, servers, deacons, youth, husbands and wives, kingdom kids, teachers. You have teachers, you have elders, evangelists, ministers. Prayer warrior, there you go. Prayer warrior. It's a team effort. Angels, come on, Judy, where's Judy? Angels. custodians, I mean, we have such a wonderful team. I need the team to survive. I need the team to be transformed. Without the team, I don't mature. You see, sanctification, transformation work in our lives is a process which begins with God and is completed by God, but we also need the team effort to transform. God works, and his work overshadows the seasons of victory and the seasons of defeat. His work is key. He's always working for his purposes, his glory, and his will. God transforms us. He allows us to be transformed by others. It's a team effort. And the third area I want to talk about is the beautiful boast of transformation. You know, when you change, there's nothing like changing. There's nothing like being transformed into the image of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 1, 30 and 31, Paul says, "But from him you are in Christ Jesus, who for us became wisdom from God, as well as righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, in order that as it is written, the one who boasts must boast in the Lord." Paul's saying, do you know where wisdom comes from? Jesus. That relationship with Jesus. Wisdom. The skill, the intelligence, and the clarity. By ourselves, we can't have clarity and wisdom or intelligence and skill. But through our relationship with Jesus, we have wisdom, he says. Also says we have righteousness, judicial, divine approval. You know what helps me to change? Is clarity and intelligence from my relationship with God. Jesus helps me to change when he divinely and judiciously approves me, when I even disapprove of myself. Sometimes I don't change because I'm down, I'm frustrated, I'm angry at myself, even more than God is. And that doesn't lead to transformation. What does it lead to? Self-pity, bitterness, and depression. Then he says that not only is Jesus our wisdom and our righteousness, Jesus is our sanctification. Jesus is our process of making us holy and set apart and being transformed into his likeness. Jesus is that process. You ever look in the Gospels and you see and you know that because they were with Jesus and because they witnessed what he did, they were transformed? And do you know, there are times that we come to church and we read the Bible, but we don't walk with Jesus. We don't go, what would you do, Jesus, in this situation? What would you say? How would you feel? How would you respond? And see, if you don't take him with you, you don't transform. You don't transform. I was telling stories about me first becoming a Christian and learning how to love different types of people. And what I had to do is reference the gospel to see how did Jesus love different types of people. And I had to imitate that. That leads to transformation. But if you're not around different types of people, guess what? You ain't gonna learn how to love them. If you're around people that are just like you, you're gonna remain just like you. If Jesus were here and he said, come follow me, where would he take you? To Southwood? Basin Street? Appalachia Parkway? What kind of job would he take you on? Co-workers that are kind of weird? What kind of family would he put you in? What kind of encounters would you have throughout the day? He would expose you to different types of encounters, to different types of people to become like he is. That's the process of sanctification. He says that's who he is. And he's also, Paul says, our redemption. That means to be a release affected by payment of ransom, deliverance. It's a repurchase. When we fall, he is our repurchase. He buys us back through his blood. When we fall, he buys us back. When we wouldn't even buy ourselves back, he buys us back. See, do you realize? Then the last one, he says, he is our boast. He is what we're proud about, our heads held up high. It's a God-given, God-focused confidence. Do you boast more in God than anybody else? Anything else? Is God your boast? If you are being transformed, guess what? God will be. If your job is your greatest boast, if your children are your greatest boast, if your looks and intelligence are your greatest boast, you're not going to be transformed like God desires you to be transformed. So, the final outcome of what God is producing in us is secured. Know that. That God's going to complete. Do you realize that our heads can be held high in every season? Whether we're winning, whether we're losing, stormy, sunny day, because the final outcome is not in question, despite how the present may be or look to you. We all are going to have a winning season. I want to look at the trophy. Anybody recognize this trophy? National Championship Trophy? That's a nice trophy, isn't it? Could you imagine if next week, I believe 12 o'clock, we play the Gators? And let's just say we lose. I mean, let's just go on a limb. Let's just say we lose. We're gonna win. But let's just say that we lost. The players are in the locker room. They wanted to win and beat UF really bad. They're down. Season's pretty bad, pretty embarrassed, and we lost to the Gators, our rival. Can you imagine Taggart coming in the locker room with that trophy and saying, guys, do you know what this is? And they go, yes, the one Alabama's going to win this year. They go, no. Slow down. This is 2019 and 20. Look at what names written on this trophy. Florida State Seminoles. Do you know, guys, we're going to win next year the national championship? How do you think they would respond? What do you think? Disbelief? Dennis, what were you going to say? Yeah, right. Is this a joke? Others would be excited, elated, thankful, unbelievable. This is incredible. How do you think it would affect the players from that moment on? Spurred on the preparation. Spurred on. Yeah. What else? Yeah. Give them hope past what they currently see. Yes. Great confidence, even through what? Adversity. In the coming months, adverse situation comes, they're confident because they remember that trophy presentation. Yeah, Harold. Coach believes in them, yeah. Redeeming them, bringing them back. This is where you're going. Yes, sir. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those of us who are guilty. I'm not saying you are, brother. But the shoe fits. You know, you can wear it. Guilt. Oh, my gosh. That's more pressure. I gotta perform. Yeah. Faith. Absolutely. And now the reverse of that, it'd be like, oh, I'm just going to lay back and get fat and not do anything, right? Because I know I won. Yeah. Focused. Yeah. How would they walk? Would their heads be held high, confident, secure? How would they react to criticisms? That you're right. We need to grow. You're right. Mm. How would they respond to accountability? Oh, yeah. Hey, help me. What do you see? Change. What do I need to do? Drop back a little further? Get a little lower? What do I need to do? You see, what about us? When Jesus holds up the cross and our crown, how do we think about this season? This short season that we have minus eternity? Are we confident? Do we desire to be changed and transformed? You know, I was going to share this later on, but I'm going to share it now real briefly. The word accountability. For some, it's a bad word. And I ask you why. Well, because it was used to judge, perhaps. You know, accountability should be a beautiful word for us as disciples. You mean, you know, you can hold me accountable to become more and more an image of Jesus? Man, what do you see in my life? What do you see in my marriage? What do you see in my parenting? You mean that, wow, somebody can help me to become like Jesus? If you already know that you won, what are you defending? Matter of fact, you should want accountability. You should ask for accountability because it's not about you. It's about you becoming more and more like your Savior. The win for us is to be transformed in His image. This is our goal. It's our joy. It's our hope. God's wonderful work in transition. He's working on you. He's working in the good times, working in the bad times, He's working all the time. The teamwork of transition, you realize who's who and who's here and why they're here. And are you investigating the body so that you can change and you can become more like Jesus? The beautiful boast of transition. Transformation. The beautiful boast. I'm becoming more and more like Jesus. He is who I'm boasting in. Not my talents, not my abilities. It's Christ. And to that, we have a Thanksgiving transformation. Not just in November, but in every month of the year, every day, every hour that we live. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. And Father, you desire to change for us. Father, I pray that we will desire to be more like you for our relationship with you. And Father, we want to spread the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus throughout the city. Father, I pray that we will spread it as the 1200 in our families, in our relationships, on our jobs, at school. And Father, people will look at us and see your Son Jesus. We love you. We thank you for him. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 As we close,